This is a Kitty Pod production.
From Television City in Hollywood.
Hey, man!
Welcome to episode number 181 of the Keep It To Yourself podcast, the most above average podcast ever to hit your ear holes. My name, of course, and as always, is Jason Bullitt.
The regulator, innovator, dominator, creator, evader, pussy imitator, assassinator, baby.
I demand the hour, the man with the power, too sweet to be sour.
Hang on, baby Jesus, this is gonna get bumpy.
I'm your friend.
That's right, it's me, Smokey Bear.
Gosh, what a neat guy.
The cream of the crop. Nobody does it better.
Baby, baby.
And I'm coming to you from the rolling and almost but not entirely waterlogged hills of Saratoga County, New York. I'm recording this at the end of April 2023. I almost said 2022 there. I'm glad I caught myself when I did. However, it's a noteworthy day because it was 6 years ago, the day of recording, that I dropped the very first episode of the Keep It To Yourself podcast. I recorded just days earlier here at Bullet House, and here we are 6 years later, still rocking and rolling. This is going to be the premiere of season 7. Hard to believe I've been doing this for so long. So whether you're an OG, you've been there from the beginning, or you're a new listener, thanks for the support. That's all I have to say. All right, enough sentiment for one episode. We're going to get right to it here. We're going to talk autism and mental health, and this dovetails from something I watched on Netflix recently. I'll tell you all about it in just a moment. But first up, we're going to do my social media first. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Keep It To Yourself Podcast. There's the Keep It To Yourself Facebook page and also the world's loneliest email, kitypod@gmail.com. So you want to give your thoughts, just hit me up on any of those. Also, the Instagram feed, you're going to find clips of this episode. Or like one I think is choice that'll lure you in to listen to the whole thing. Okay, so what's been going on in the life of one J. Michael Bullitt, you ask? Well, I've had a couple of things happen to me. It's been a pretty eventful April. I talked Easter last episode. So the 2 weeks that have followed since last I spoke and you listened, well, it's been pretty busy. Well, first up, I got to give a shout out to everybody who made it out to Harvey's. Not that I hosted or anything. But Sarah Berger, the night before, almost seemingly on short notice, she helped organize this surprise 40th birthday party for one of my friends. And I was very honored to be invited to this little shindig upstairs at Harvey's on Fowler Street. Shout out to those guys. Had a nice little spread when I got upstairs. I think it was just after 7 o'clock, so that gave me time. I watched the whole Yankees game. The Yankees got spoiled another lead with the Twins there. I was watching the game when I wasn't schmoozing around. It was great seeing Sarah. It was great seeing Anne-Marie Guglielmo. There were some other guys there. I don't recall your names offhand. If you are listening, don't be offended. But of course, the guest of honor was a friend named Nicole Riffenberry. Gave her the dap, met the fam. I was very well fed, and I had some cake there, but nobody really partook. It was like, what's going on here, man?
Come on, man. What are we doing out there, man?
So about 10 o'clock, the game had already ended. Due in no small part to Major League Baseball's implementation of a pitch clock this season. It's made the games go by pretty quick. Some would say too quick. And that's enough Jason Sports Corner for one episode. So I told Sarah and everybody, all right, I had a great time, but I got to be getting back now. It's getting close to 10 o'clock. About 9:30, 10 o'clock by the time I left. So that was a great party. I'm sorry I couldn't stay longer, but, you know, the burdenous beast of boredom was starting to get in my head now that the Yankees game had ended. I had a nice little distraction for a hot few hours or so. So thanks to you guys for a great time at Harvey's, and we're just getting there, man. I don't know how to wrap this up. All right, get on with it, will you? Okay, come on. All right, so we've had a busy Autism Awareness and Acceptance Month here in Bullet Land and Kitty Pod Land, too. The following Sunday, I went to an autism expo. Actually, this is the 11th one, hosted by Saratoga Bridges. Shout out to the organizers. I took my friend Lindsay there. Had a wonderful time. And, you know, we went to the It's next to the city center in Saratoga. So we went into this Hilton, not a sponsor. Went our way there. That's where we had our senior prom. So it's a special place for the both of us and a number of our friends, too. Because back in the primordial days, that's when we had our senior prom, as I've mentioned twice already. And I ain't bringing him back. He had his one. So we go in there, and it's about 1 o'clock, 1:15, the event had already started, and holy cannoli, I'm telling you, that place was crowded. Our chapter of the Autism Society had a table set up, as all these organizations were too, you know, locally, all throughout New York State. Some were wearing Hawks and Hawking wares and this, that, and the other, flip, flop, and fly. I met Janine, who was the head of our Autism Society chapter. I brought Lindsay along so that way she could try and, get some resources going. I don't know how long her parents are going to be walking around the earth, but I figured I'll try and help a sister out. I'd say help a brother, but she's a woman, obviously. So we're just gathering resources that might be, important to her and all that going in later life. I've gotten a head start on that, what with trying to get benefits from New York State Office for People with Developmental Disabilities. And probably people who can no longer speak English. But anyway, so the great time. It was crowded. We're making our through. We even went to a little sensory room. Now, those of us on the spectrum, as could be expected, would be a little overwhelmed with the crush of people that had made their way into the exhibition hall, the thing there. And they decided, well, gonna be too much. Let's get them in a separate room. And they'd set up this room where there's no lights. It's just about dark. But, there's things that are lit up. You can just have sensory toys that can try and get your equilibrium back. There's like one thing for the very little kids. They could just pretend like they're a car going through the car wash, which I found quite amusing. There was an incident, though. Not major, thankfully. A little kid had to have been about 3 or 4, maybe 5, who knows, but, he was in there sobbing and crying and whatnot, doing what little kids do sometimes, as they made their way into the little sensory play area. It was kind of ironic, almost defeated the whole purpose of the room there. I think he was coming in from when the thing was going on there, the main hall. So, got some stuff for Lindsay. I got to follow up stuff with her. And, text her, see if she's looked into some of this other stuff. I figure try to help somebody who could be on the spectrum. I don't know for certain, but that'd be a bit of a minefield to ask that kind of a question, especially you ask somebody who you've known for so long. Well, we made our way through the rain and the muck and the yuck and the like that. And went over to this place where we had the adult mixer for our 20th reunion, so a place that also holds significance, if not for your truly at least, and that's the Whitman Cafe. Now, I think they probably open up for dinner in the evenings there because they moved everything upstairs. I don't know what's going on with that because we were downstairs when I was there August before last. So what I do is go up to the counter, place our order, like a little fast casual, and then they'll bring it out to you. I had a Korean barbecue pizza. Actually, we decided to split. I decided, I'll pay for the pizza, and Lindsay would pay for the appetizer. We got these pretzel sticks. He had, like, 3 dipping sauces, ground mustard, like Gouldens, brown mustard, cheese sauce, and queso dip. Probably salsa con queso, but who knows. And those were really good. It's probably, like, a little too buttery, a little greasy, but went down good. And that Korean barbecue pizza was nothing to sniff at either. So, great time. Not the best of days weather-wise, but it was all good. So, been a busy end to the month of autism awareness and acceptance, and I'm closing it out in grand fashion. Okay, I could be exaggerating, but what I want to say is I'll be volunteering at the Hero 5K run for autism in Schenectady this Sunday, day after this episode is recorded, and probably the day this drops, in all likelihood. Quick turnaround with these episodes. So there you have it right there. I'll tell you all about it in the next episode. All right, we've gone to the main topic here, and I want to do a little content corner, and that's going to transition nicely into our main topic. I recently watched this documentary on Netflix called Take Your Pills, Xanax. And if you haven't seen it, it's rather well done. And there's all these people who have been taking Xanax and other such medications for anxiety, depression, etc. And they tell how abusing these pills affected their life. Not really bad, like junkies. You know, they get addicted to this stuff. You know, thankfully, I've been able to really control things with taking Zoloft, which I do once a night. You know, pop one of those in there and, you know, take it and then go to bed, night-night. It hasn't gotten to that point, and I have enough self-control to say that it will never get to that point. You know, a little willpower and perseverance, that'll really get you going. With all that in mind, the Zoloft's been working good, so I've been telling people who have been willing to lend me an ear, or let me lend them an ear, or something like that. I don't know, but all I'm trying to say is Zoloft has been quite the aid in helping me with my anxiety. The bummer is I can't booze it up anymore, but I think I'm past that now as I've hit my 40s. So there's that. And that dovetails nicely into talking about autism and mental health. Now, many people think to themselves, is autism really a mental disorder? Some say yes, others say, well, not really. Hold your horses there, bud. However, there is a link between autism and mental health. So we're going to forego the debate over mental illness and autism. And this is an article from sane.org out of Australia. And by the way, I have posted a link to the show notes. You just scroll down and you'll see it and you can read for yourself. Now, this is a fact sheet that they shared with us. There's some quick facts about autism spectrum disorder. I may have mentioned some of these before, but this is to get you familiar with what ASD is all about. It said, autism is a neurodevelopmental condition with characteristics first emerging in early childhood. Number two, autistic people experience a range of differences in the areas of social behavior and communication, interest and behaviors, and often experience co-occurring mental health conditions. This, to my mind, as far as this discussion, is where the rubber meets the road. They also go on to say autistic people can benefit from working with mental health professionals who understand autism and are supportive and strengths-based. It may have come to your ear holes notice that I have used identity first language in this recording here, what I just said. And many people in the autistic community prefer that. Well, I'm just reading off the article here, though I do recognize that there's some people prefer person first language, like person with autism, rather than say autistic person. Or the term autism spectrum disorder. You know, whatever your liking is, you may not agree with it, but, you know, we respect that. All right, back to the lecture at hand here. They also go on to explain, what is autism? Well, autism is a neurodevelopmental condition. The official diagnostic term is autism spectrum disorder. Some people also use, to my mind, the outdated term Asperger's syndrome, even though it's no longer given as a diagnosis in most places. Australia, where this article was written, the United States, and other parts of the world, if I had to place a wager. Autism means neurodivergence. That means we think, learn, experience, and interact with the world around them in a different way than neurotypical people. These days, there's become more of an embracement and understanding of autism. Is embracement even a word? And celebrating the strengths of those of us on the spectrum. And businesses and corporations, some of them, and I hope it'll be all of them one day, have come to respect that and, you know, make adjustments accordingly. Now, there are some characteristics of autism. It involves, number one, challenges with interaction and social communication. That means we can't read nonverbal communications, body languages, so that's why we have trouble trying to maintain friendships and relationships and this, that, and the other, merely because of just that. I've covered autism and dating in a previous episode. Go back in the archives and have a listen to that. Another big challenge for those of us on the spectrum, restricted and repetitive behaviors, interests, or activities. For example, repetitive motor movements or speech, a strong preference for sameness and routine, intense or focused interest, or sensitivity to sensory stimulation like sound, temperature, smell, that stuff. That's why I can't take the heat too much in the summertime, and I don't like it when it's too cold in the wintertime around these parts. So what causes autism? Well, it's unclear what does. There's no single root cause, and there are a lot of different factors that can contribute. So it's a real mess, gets all muddied and this and that. However, autism is genetic, and there's a strong basis for that little fact. How common is autism? Well, I know I got this from Australia, but here, at least in the United States, the numbers have crawled up to 1 in 36. It was 1 in 44. So I think the Anderson Center for Autism, whose podcast I'm going to mention later on toward the end of this show, will be want to change the title or probably completely rename it. But that's all by the by. Now, many of us on the spectrum also experience co-occurring mental health issues, commonly due to a wide variety of reasons, like there's overlap in symptoms, there's probably genetic factors and shared life experiences, and also the impact of stressful traumatic events like bullying. They also list some common co-occurring or comorbid mental health and developmental conditions like depression, obsessive compulsive disorder, bipolar disorder, anxiety disorders, and depression. And some of us may also experience other conditions like intellectual disability, challenges with speech and language, sleep problems, and problems with physical health, some of which I've been trying like mad the last 5-10 years at my now advanced age, especially to combat. I'll tell you how I've been making strides in that regard towards the end. It will be later on. Now, they also go on to list some support for autism and mental health. The article says, many people with autism, okay, I'm going off the article there, but many of us on the spectrum can benefit from accessing mental health support. However, there are barriers, and well, there can be barriers to getting the right help. For example, there's some mental health professionals who may not have a good understanding of autism or have the right training to provide support. So here you are trying to get help. You found somebody and they don't really understand you. So there's the problem I have. That's why I'm a little reluctant to do therapy. Not only the price tag, but also will they get me as somebody on the spectrum? Well, some good mental health support according to sane.org for those of us on the spectrum would include, number one, mental health professionals who are knowledgeable about autism and understand the strength and resilience of those of us on the spectrum. Number two, accessible, high-quality support services that are appropriate for people who might have communication challenges or sensory sensitivities. And three, good coordination and collaboration between different teams and support providers. That would probably be for the ones that are higher up on the spectrum. Sorry for the stumble there. People experiencing both mental health issues and autism can also benefit from the following. Number one, building a relationship with a supportive GP, that would be like doctor, and other mental health professionals. Developing a support network of trusted friends or family members. I've got that going for me. My dad, shout out Frank Sicari, not my dad, but you get it. Looking after their physical health by getting enough exercise and sleep. And connecting with others with similar experiences, such as through peer support. And also accessing other types of support, such as community and employment support, if need be. Well, I'm going to put a little personal spin on it here and say that when it comes to my mental health and my physical health too, it's come up recently that I've been prone to overeating sometimes, especially I've been at home all this time when I'm not working. I'm usually knacking something down during the time between meals. Sometimes I can go overboard. And my dad would say, well, all the time. He put it to me straight the other night. So I decided to take up walking on a lot more regular basis than I have been now. I've been in recent times, really. I mean, the morning I recorded this, I actually went out for a 2-lap around the neighborhood walk after I was done cleaning house, and that was after lunch. Whereas yesterday, it was rather nice out, especially first thing in the morning. Took 1 lap around the neighborhood because that's all I was going to have time for. I had to get into my morning routine, you know, figure out what to have for breakfast. Hopefully have time to take a shower and log on to work. And then after I logged off for the day and for the weekend, took two laps around the neighborhood. So I got three laps in. Walked the equivalent of 2.25 miles outside. So plenty of outside time for your boy, for your humble host. Well, sir, I got about two laps in this afternoon, and then early in the morning, actually earlier on, I subscribed to this YouTube channel, and there's this young lady who is a fitness instructor, or so I think she is. I don't know if all those influencers, but she had a whole channel, or actually she has a whole channel of autism-friendly exercises. And I watched part of one, like, well, I'm going to have to get a medicine ball or something. Like, I don't have anything like that here. So I went to the master, or primary bedroom, really, and found something weighted. I'm like, oh, let's use these. I had two of those, and when I was doing, like, working my triceps, I had some strain in my arm, so I'm like, I don't want to overdo it. So I dropped one of them, or put them on the sofa, and I said, all right, this one's just good enough. So worked up a good sweat, I will tell you. That and the walking, burned some calories today, so I'm very happy for that. As for, you know, support groups, I have my dad, I have his fiance, I got Frank Sicari, I mentioned him twice now. So I got a good network of friends that I can turn to whenever I feel as though I'm having some struggles. And my dad's been very open with keeping the lines of communication. He tells me whenever he's away, you know, anytime, day or night, even if you just want to chat, there's something bothering you, don't keep it bottled up. You know, give them a call and we'll hash it out. Or they're at home, just talk. You know, we'll get things going that way. Especially if, like, big, important, almost life-changing decisions. And this and that. I'm also a member of an autism support group, and this is now my 7th year of doing such. And I've, since the pandemic started, we've been holding these meetings, the first Wednesday of every month, and doing so on Zoom. Only once have we done something like this, where it was an informal meeting, but we went to this outdoor eatery, and that's where we had the meeting. It was right near where our Autism Society's headquarters are located. So there's that. So all in all, I'm getting resources for how to live life and also for mental health too, and I'm glad I have that going for me. So I'm good with that, taking care of my physical health, because I found out that both physical and mental health go hand in glove. And that Xanax documentary I watched on Netflix the other day certainly bears that out. So I just want to highly recommend that. So going out of the main topic back into content corner, it's on Netflix. It's on there, I think, still on there. I don't know how long it's going to be, but do check that out when you get the chance. All right, gang, that about wraps it up for this episode of the Kitty Pod, but before we leave, got to get some pod shout-outs out of the way. First up, GFA Live, greetings from Allentown. Peter Winston and Keith Langston did a live watch of WCW Clash of the Champions 4, Seasons Beatings from December of 1988. You can follow Pete and the podcast both at GF Allentown on Twitter. There's also the Sportscasters with Steve Bennett. He talked with Richard Deitch of The Athletic and also three members of the Yale men's hockey team on the 10th anniversary of their winning the NCAA Division I men's ice hockey championship. Fun fact, Steve's brother played on that team as well. So three of his brother's teammates, Kenny Agostino, Andrew Miller, and Jesse Root, also got to swap stories about that magical season. You can follow Steve and the podcast on Twitter at sports_casters and on Instagram at thesportscasters. Meanwhile, on a side project, the 24-inch podcast, Steve, his daughter Paula, and Dave Rollins discussed WrestleMania 1, the very first one, 1985. That really took the WWE to new heights. Well, WWF at the time. You can follow that podcast at 24-inch pod on Twitter, and 24_inch_podcast on Instagram. Hope I didn't mix those up. I may have. Apologies for that. The Break It Down Show. David C. Baker and Chuck Holton were guests of Pete A. Turner. You can follow Pete at Pete A. Turner across all your social media and the podcast at Break It Down Show. The Loyal Littles Podcast had Jason Masopust, Andy Lucich, and Dave Schramm with a guest appearance by Christopher Giannini. By the way, the first episode I mentioned came out earlier than expected. Had a little run-in with the big show. That would be the Tony Kornheiser show. So they had to embargo it. I got the lesson early on. So a little mistake from Chuck and Roxy. You can follow those two at Loyal Littles Pod on Twitter and the Loyal Littles Podcast on Instagram. As for this little dog and pony show, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, or your podcatcher of choice. If your podcatcher does not have the podcast available, a little trick for you, a little hack. I put down in every episode, I put in the show notes, well, most everyone, I forgot that one time. You can take the address for the RSS feed, paste it onto your podcatcher, and bingo, bango, bongo, you're all set to go. If said podcatcher has rating and or review capabilities, do yours truly a huge solid and give me a 5-star review and a good write-up. I'd certainly appreciate it, and thanks for all that. And thanks as ever for listening to this episode of the Keep It To Yourself podcast, number 181 in the books. I'll talk to you on the next one, whenever that may be, as he stumbles his way out the door orally. And whenever that time may be, we'll get together again. So, till then, as always and above all else, in the words of the late, great Jerry Springer, take care of yourselves and each other. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
The Keep It To Yourself podcast has been a Never Go Off Your Meds production.
Oh yeah, check it.
That's do the saying that there's some